All right, we're in Ephesians, and we're going to start in 13, and we're going to go to 21 today because there's a break point right there at 22 when it starts into all the different relationships, wives, husbands, kids, slaves, masters, all that kind of stuff. So this is all leading up to it. So Ephesians 5, 13 to 21, how are the works of darkness exposed? But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light, for whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore, he says, awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not be drunk with wine, which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God. Okay. So, how are works of darkness exposed? What does it say? Through light. Through light. Now, light's an interesting thing. In drinking water in Africa, you can put the water in a glass bottle or a clear plastic bottle and lie it on its side in the sun, and the light and the heat will purify it. Light, put a light under your house, and it will deter ants and termites. They don't like light. Yep. So put light like in your crawl space or underneath. Keeps the ants and the termites away. Why do we put sensor lights out? Keep shady people out of your car. There you go. To keep the burglars. We don't want the burglars coming around, right? Yeah. There's a quote here by Dallas Willard. He says, almost all evil deeds and intents are begun with the thought that they can be hidden by deceit. The kingdom of evil is built on lies, secrets, and darkness. It requires the absence of light to survive. Thus, for all its fearsome appearances, the kingdom of evil is structurally very weak. Turn on the light and the cockroaches scramble to go under the refrigerator. Right? How about when you walk in, even if it's your own place, right? And you walk in a room and it's got, you know, these weird figures and things, and depending on how imaginative your brain is, you can imagine all kinds of stuff, right? But what happens when you turn the light on? You see it's grandma's rocking chair or, you know, whatever. So you turn the light on. Truth seeks light and it comes to the light. Okay? Truth seeks out light and comes to the light, and evil avoids light and loves darkness. So, why do people do things in the dark? Like last night when they had the bicycle run. It's in the dark. Why not do it in the daylight? Well, nowadays they will do it in the daylight. The naked bicycle ride, yeah. Okay. Enough. Enough with the imagination. Next, it says, therefore, he says, awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. Okay, so sleep and death. Jesus shines on the sinner the saving light of his truth. So it's Christ will give you light. Dead and sleep. Remember they said, is he sleep? Well, he's asleep, you know. Lazarus, you know, he's asleep. No, he's dead. So, Jesus is saying, wake up. We're supposed to wake up. Stop sleeping and stop being dead. Now, see then that you walk circumspectly. Now, the see is not like from the eye. Okay. So here's the definition in the Greek, is to discern mentally. That's what see means. Okay, discern mentally. So it says discern mentally and you walk circumspectly. Perceive, contemplate, look at something, study it, and get a discernment about it. You ever hear people say walk circumspectly? And it's like, yeah, what does that mean? Okay. So it means accurately and carefully. Conduct yourself accordingly. It would be like us saying, would you please drive on the right side of the road? Okay. Now, Emily, I know you just got your permit, but there is a certain side of the road that you're supposed to drive on. If you're in England, it's the other side. So you have to know what the laws of the land are. But it says drive on the correct side of the road. Walk, conduct yourself accordingly, be careful, and be accurate. So we that's an exhortation for you with learning how to drive. Walk circumspectly. How many of us walk circumspectly when you think about it? Carefully. When do you walk carefully? When you're not sure of your footing, when you're not sure of the, you know, places around? How about walking down like to a riverbed where there's rocks and stuff? You're going to walk real careful because you slip and fall. You're going to hurt yourself. So why are we supposed to walk circumspectly? Especially, it says here, not as fools but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Is that a good reason to walk circumspectly? Because the days are evil? Are we in those days? Mm-hmm. Last days. 1 Timothy 4, 2 Timothy 3. All you got to do is read those two. 1 Timothy 4, 2 Timothy 3, and you will see the days are evil. And we need to walk circumspectly. Very strategic. Wise. Take every opportunity to do good. Take opportunity to do good in these days. This is an opportune season. You know what? People are at least, even though that nutcase with the, you know, the rapture and it didn't happen. By the way, he got a stroke and can't talk, so whatever. But people at least were open and talking about it, you know. Like Steve said, one of the people, the reporter says, well, don't worry, it's not the end of the world. But it erased awareness of people to talk about this kind of stuff. Even though they make fun, you know, and they have the billboards and all these different things, but at least they're aware there is a day coming. It's not now, but there is a day coming. So take an opportune time and season and live strategically and be wise about it. Now, don't be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. If you're wondering what the will of the Lord is, here's two things right here. The first thing being reflective thinking, not getting drunk with wine. Okay, so there's a negative there. So don't get drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. So what does drunk with wine mean? It means being soaked and intoxicated. Soaked and intoxicated. And I'm sure probably all of us in our BC days or whatever have gotten soaked and intoxicated. Okay? All right. Thank goodness they're BC days. That is not in contradiction to Paul telling Timothy to take a little wine for his stomach ailments. Remember that later on in Timothy? Take a little wine. So, if you enjoy a glass of wine, God bless you. You know, it just says don't get drunk with wine. Like anything. In moderation, right? People in moderation, whatever. So, if you need a little wine, that's fine. But don't get soaked and intoxicated. Because we don't want to be picking you off the street. I remember one guy, and I really believe this was from the Lord, that we had brought back a typewriter. Why we brought a typewriter back from Israel? Why would you haul a typewriter back from Israel? Anyway, I don't know. All I know is we had it because we didn't have a typewriter at the time. It was 1984. And we asked this guy in Forest Grove by the name of Frank to fix the typewriter. So why would you even bring a broken typewriter back from Israel? I mean, this is ridiculous. Sometimes the Lord has you do weird things, you know? So we have this broken typewriter, and we call this guy Frank. We looked him up in the book, and he came to fix our typewriter. All right, great. Well, it wasn't a couple weeks later that I used to walk back and forth between Pacific and where we lived, because it was just like a 10, 15-minute walk, and I, you know, just could unwind from the day. I see Frank in the middle of the street, of the main street in Forest Grove, drunk on his butt. I mean, intoxicated and soaked. probably could have squeezed them and it would have came out of them, you know? And I'm like, Frank, what are you doing? Yeah, whatever. So I got him over to the house and Tony made coffee so we could sober him up, right? Well, some weeks later, his daughter looked us up and said, because she knew I worked at Pacific, and she said, thank you for my dad. My dad's an alcoholic and whatever. And, you know, it was embarrassing. I says, that's okay. You know, whatever. And we got to talking, and I don't know, we just told her, we're Christians, and we went to Beaverton. She says, could I go with you guys to church one time? Sure, fine. We take her to church. She gets saved. She meets her husband there and gets married. That's all over a broken typewriter from Israel. Is that amazing? You know, her father did pass away. You know, we had a funeral and stuff, but she did. She got saved. She met her husband at Beaverton Foursquare, the singles group, and to this day is married to him. I don't know. But I know she did. Just weird. So anyway, so much for the soaking and the intoxication. So that's the negative. Don't get drunk with wine. It's okay to drink wine, but don't get drunk with it. But it says, but be filled with the Spirit. So there is the negative. Don't get drunk with wine. It says, but be filled with the Spirit. So stop. Don't soak and get intoxicated with wine, but be filled. Now, that word filled means supply liberally. Supplied liberally. In Acts 6:15, you guys remember going through the book of Acts, don't you? Sure. Stephen, Acts 6:15, a man who was yielded, it says it was filled with the Holy Spirit. It means that he was yielded and under control of the Holy Spirit. So is being under control of the Holy Spirit making you look like you're drunk? Didn't you ever see these manifestations of people being drunk in the Spirit and falling all over the place? No, doesn't say that. A man who is yielded and under control is like a man like Stephen. So here are the signs of a Spirit-filled life. Because it says, be filled with the Spirit. Now, Tony and I have gone through everything about Spirit-filled life. Because when we first got saved on our first anniversary, got baptized at Beaverton, and I right away got filled with the Spirit, and I have this prayer language, and I can still remember the words, and they sounded Hawaiian. So I went to the Hawaiian students on the campus at Pacific, and I go, what does palakalukalakale mean? That was the words, I remember. And they said, I don't know, brother, but you're praying in the Lord, you know, or whatever, you know, praising the Lord. Praising the Lord, right? Of course, you know, I think we have to be so analytical, and it's like, what does this mean? Well, anyway, we have been in meetings where people have gotten slain in the Spirit. We've had all kinds of stuff. We didn't get the feathers falling and the cackling birds and all that kind of stuff. But it's always been like, what does this Spirit-filled life mean? Well, here it says, be filled with the Holy Spirit, right? But there's three things that are listed here about being filled with the Holy Spirit. And you might be surprised that none of them are emotional necessarily. So I wrote them on the board. Because, you know, when I get here early, I like to write stuff on the board. But this is what it says of what it means to be filled with the Holy Spirit. So the first thing is what? What does it say there? But be filled with the Spirit. How? 19 says, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. That's the first thing. So when Bruce just shared about Psalm 91, that's what it means, like reading a psalm. You know, those psalms were all set to music. You read through there. Some are by David. Some are by different other people, but they're all to be played on a lute or some kind of an instrument. Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. So things that are praiseworthy, that you build one another up. Now, just, you know, what we did for Mom's Day and Dad's Day was we gave you what? Songs. Okay? And you put them in the car or bring them home and it lifts you up. Now, sometimes people like certain songs. I like hymns, okay? I like jazzed up hymns, fine. You know, sometimes there's different songs. We try to get a good mix. We try to pray over what we're supposed to share. We listen to people, you know, if it's too raucous or whatever, okay. But we put a lot of work into, like, what kinds of songs would, what, point to the Lord. Because the words are important, not merely sentimental, like feelings, nothing more than feelings. What in the world did that ever mean? Right? Words are important. We don't need narcissistic worship either. Like, that it's all about me, right? Lord, I lift myself on high. Lord, I love to sing my praises, right? We don't need songs like that. We need songs that express truth and that teach or instruct, admonish or encourage us. And where is these songs supposed to go? Look at where it's supposed to go. Singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, right? That way. And speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. It's the cross, isn't it? You're supposed to sing unto the Lord and also speaking to one another the same way. So we have a good cross-section of songs. Did you get that? Yeah. A good cross-section of songs. Ones that go to the Lord, and we sing to each other the same things. So, be filled with the Spirit. How? Speak to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. That's the first thing. Second is giving thanks. Giving thanks. It says, give thanks always for all things. Come on, everybody. We got our wristbands on, right? No complaining. Giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So, blessings, the whole good, not grumbling and glooming. I know there's realistic things that are going on, and we can discern the times and seasons like the sons of Issachar. Okay, but thankfulness. And I put down here, an attitude of gratitude offsets a tude. Right? An attitude of gratitude offsets a tude when you're having a tude. You know what a tude is. Yeah, when you're crabby and you're having an attitude problem. I remember Miss Vicky over at Beaverton and Foursquare when the kids would get too loud and stuff, she would clap real loud and say, attitude adjustment, and everybody goes, Jesus is number one. Anybody remember that? I worked with those kids a lot, you know, Peter, James, and John in a sailboat and all that stuff. So, an attitude of gratitude offsets a tude, having a tude. And you watch, if you're having a tude and all of a sudden you start singing or putting some songs on, right? Put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. That's an old, you know, Foursquare song. You put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Watch it just lift. Watch it just lift. Anybody felt depressed lately? I mean, really? Feel oppressed? Put on some song. I don't think there's anything. I mean, I can go and try to study or open up the Psalms or whatever, and it still feels heavy. But if you just put some song on, and Tony's really good at that because she's more of the song person, and just put some songs on or put it in while you're driving, just lifts. So giving of thanks. So be filled with the Holy Spirit. How? Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs and giving thanks. Now the third one, submitting to one another. Look what it says here. Submit to one another in the fear of God. Now, they say that in verse 21 before we get into the various wives, husbands, etc. That's why I stopped there. Submit to one another in the fear of God. This is a military term, the submitting. This is not subserviency. This is submitting to one another, and it's a military term of marshaling the troops. Marshaling the troops means to form in order for battle under a commanding officer. That's what it means. It means to marshal the troops, to form in order for battle under a commanding officer. Subject yourself to obey. Well, who's the ultimate authority? Jesus. So that's why it says submit to one another in the fear of God. Okay? or Christ instead. Fear of God. So, what's the opposite of submission? Rebellion, yeah. Self-assertion. I want to do what I want to do when I want to do it. Independent spirit. How about an autocratic spirit? Somebody that thinks that, you know, somebody that thinks that everybody else died and left them in command. Right? Bossing people around. Controlling spirit, we were just talking about. So this word really means sweet reasonableness of attitude. Isn't that great? Sweet reasonableness of attitude. It's reasonable. It's sweet in your attitude. And again, the ultimate authority is Christ. Now, Paul, remember Paul says, imitate me as I imitate Christ. Okay. If anybody could claim rank, it could be Paul. He wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. Look at all the stuff he went through. Right? Got his head chopped off for the gospel. So he says, imitate me as I imitate Christ. If a leader is leading biblically, follow them, being controlled by God. If not, ask them to line up with it, or if not, get out of it. I'm telling you, everybody says, I'm going to try to change things. No, forget it. I've seen these churches that have gone sideways. Unless the move of the Holy Spirit, unless the leaders, you know, repent and stuff, forget it. It's not going to work. It's going to go sideways. So, leader leading biblically, follow them, as it's based on being controlled by God. If not, ask them to line up with it. Just like what we talked about in midweek service, we went over the whole thing about leadership, and we went over about confronting somebody, then taking 2 or 3 other people, take it to the church. If not, out. So, I want you to think about these 3 things, because this was very insightful for me after all these years of being a Christian. In all these 3 signs of spirit-filled living, okay, those 3 things, there's not a command of a person to feel an emotion or be taken over by an experience. It's not. There's nothing there. There's no mention of emotionally or being physically out of control. And a lot of times, you know, you can read on the website, we had to write these things out before we ever started about what we believe and all that kind of stuff. We believe the Holy Spirit. We believe the move in the Holy Spirit. I speak in tongues every day, if I remember. But in all these things, these are the 3 things that are a command to be filled with the Spirit is speaking to one another in psalms and spiritual songs, giving thanks, and submitting to one another. Isn't that amazing? So, you know, the animal noises, the uncontrolled laughter, or out-of-control wailing, all these manifestations that we see as proof of walking in the Spirit and all that kind of stuff, I don't see it. It's not there. It's not there. Manifestations are actions that are a conscious decision. The command to be filled with the Spirit can only be carried out and obeyed as you do certain things. Isn't that interesting? So, when you speak to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs and sing them to God, when you give thanks for all things, and when we are submitted to one another, that's walking in the Spirit. It is. Now, like I said, I've been down on the floor in the Spirit or whatever. It's very peaceful, whatever. In lines at group meetings and things like that. But bottom line is, even during those times, I remember my character wasn't lined up with being filled with the Spirit. So these are the things that he's outlining here and saying you'll be commanded to be filled with the Spirit can only be carried out and obeyed in doing certain things. It's not an experience. It's not out of control emotion. You're not commanded to feel an emotion or be taken over by an experience. Now, Dr. Ed Murphy, who wrote the Handbook for Spiritual Warfare, it's a big, thick volume, he told me years ago, he says, I've never been in a culture that has had a deceiving voice of God spirit in it like America. Everything comes across as, you know, in the name of the Lord or whatever. But, and I said, how do you, I mean, what hope do we have, you know? And he says, it has to line up with the word or it's of the world. It lines up with the word or it's of the world. And what is worldly wisdom? This is the wisdom of the world, earthly, natural, and demonic. So I hate to say that some of the things that people run after, you always have these movements in the church, you know, and it's kind of like a wave and everybody's going after this or that. If it lines up with the world, it's earthly, natural, and demonic. If it lines up with the word, then that's fine. It's there. That's why it's there. That's, you know, this is our owner's manual. It'll be right in here. So, like I said, here you go through Ephesians. It's like, okay, we're going through Ephesians, you know, wait till we get to 6. It's going to take some time to go through all the armor and all that kind of stuff. But when you're going through this, you have to deal with these subject matters instead of, like, I have my favorite areas to look at. But you have to deal with these things, and you have to look them up. So instead of, well, we did this because we always did this, or because we used to do this at this church or whatever. Well, that's great, but if this is what the word says, speak to one another in psalms and hymns. That's being filled with the Spirit. Giving thanks. That's being filled with the Spirit. Submitting to one another as unto the Lord. That's being filled with the Spirit. Now, you might say, did you get Baptist-y or something? Right? Listen. I went to a Baptist seminary, okay? I got good theology. I went to Beaverton Foursquare. I had good leadership there and learned a lot of things, you know? And we prayed on Thursday nights, prayed in the Spirit, or got on our knees and prayed. Remember, the Word without the Spirit, you dry up. The Spirit without the Word, you blow up. The Spirit and the Word, you grow up. Both. So, are you filled with the Spirit? And people sometimes say, well, I don't speak in tongues and stuff and this and that, and there's some denominations that really press to, that is the sign that you are filled with the Spirit. I'm sorry, I've been around people that pray in the Spirit and they act like the devil the other 6 days. And I'm sorry, that doesn't make you Spirit-filled. But I think if we look at these three things, and we, because it says it's a command to be filled with the Spirit, and if it's a command, then it's something that we can do, then these are good things to concentrate on. To say, this is what being filled with the Spirit is about. Okay? The same light that makes plants grow can harden clay. The light is the same, but the response is completely different. So, depends on your heart, you know. Expose yourself to the light. The light, I remember reading something about, even in the body, each cell has a really, like, microscopic light in it. And when that light goes out, the cell dies. And most people, when they have cancer, and they die of cancer, it's because those cells die. Even in the chemo, the cells die, and they clog up the system, even more than the cancer itself. But when that light goes out, that little light in each little cell, then the cell dies. Okay, so this little light of mine, remember that song? It is. You know, we got to walk in the light as he is in the light, and we'll have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sins. But that's why we've got to have the light and turn on the light, and the cockroaches go away. All right? Okay, you can put your Bibles aside. And next week, we're going to get into all these different aspects of relationships, wives and husbands and kids and masters and slaves and all that kind of stuff. So we're going to start into that. All right, let's pray. And then, Paul, if you can pass the baskets around, that'd be great. Father, thank you for a very insightful portion of scripture about what it means to walk and be filled in the Spirit. And Lord, we got to take it out of the context of the scripture, not reading things into the context of the scripture just because it meets something that we want to say. So help us to walk circumspectly, driving on the correct side of the road. Redeem the time because the days are evil. We understand that. Lord, help us not in any way getting drunk with wine or really getting drunk in anything. I think we can get drunk with television. We can get drunk with lots of different things that we're just wasting time. But help us to be filled with the Holy Spirit and supply, that is to be supplied liberally. That's like Peter saying, well, then wash my whole body, Lord. So help us to speak with one another in psalms and hymns and let these little CDs that we handed out today be a blessing. Lord, to give thanks in all things, to have an attitude of gratitude, to offset any kind of tude that we have, and also submitting to one another and remembering that it is to form for a battle under a commander and subject yourself to obey. I know we've all lived in cultures where we have to question authority because of the things that have gone on in the White House, the things that have gone on government, the things that have gone around the world, WikiLeaks, all that stuff. But Lord, you are our ultimate authority. So help us to be like Paul, imitate me as I imitate Christ. And thank you, Lord, that because you command us to be filled with the Spirit, we can carry it out and obey and to do the certain things that you list here. In Jesus' name. Amen.